morning. We're in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. If you've got your Bible with you, this is June 7th, 2020, and we are hoping that this Sunday we will be having two morning services and an evening service. Be in the building, try to do it in a way that is acceptable. And if you are watching this online, it means you've chosen to watch the service at home, and I pray that God will bless you, that you're healthy, and that things are going well. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, the Bible says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray now as we enter into your word, we look at its truths, we examine ourselves. I pray that you'd speak to us through your Holy Spirit, that our lives would be made better, more complete because of our time in your word. I pray for our churches across this country that we would be apprehended, gotten for you, achieving the goals that you reached down and chose us for. Thank you for this time in your word. I pray that it would make sense as we go through it. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Philippians is a prison epistle along with Ephesians and Colossians and Philemon. There's a difference between the Apostle Paul and myself. Well, there's a lot of them. But when it comes to times of adversity, generally I'm one that complains and moans and gripes and wishes things were different. The Apostle Paul, on the other hand, in prison, a tremendous time of adversity, writes some of the most encouraging letters that have ever been written in the history of mankind. And that's where we are this morning. He's writing from a prison cell, incarcerated for the word of God and the things that he was preaching and believing. And so he finds himself here writing in the book of Philippians about some things that I'd like to share with you. In 2015, I always, if you've attended the Cornerstone Baptist Church in the past, every new year I preach a message on New Year's resolutions. And in 2015, I preached on these 5 points that I'm going to share with you this morning, and it seemed to me that these 5 V's that we are going to talk about are what we've been experiencing in the last few months of our time, if you will, our incarceration, though no comparison to what the Apostle Paul went through, but it seems like we've been in a shutdown mode in a way that we are not used to. And so I'd like to share those 5 V's with you. But by way of introduction, there is verse number 12 that we've already read in our text. Though I had already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, that's a strange terminology and word, but I just want to explain it to you. If you've watched any police shows or you've listened to a high-speed chase, they will report, we have apprehended the criminal. We've gotten them. And the word apprehend is obviously to get a hold of, to grab them. And so what is being talked about here is the fact that Jesus Christ, if you know him as your personal Savior, if there's a time in your life where you said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, I confess my sins. I realize I need you. I'm a sinner. I ask you to be my Savior. The Bible says in that prayer, if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. When I choose Christ at salvation, I chose him, but the fact is he chose me. Now, there's a great argument theologically, what happens first or whatever. I'm not going there this morning. That's not my point. The fact is this. If you chose Christ, he apprehended you. He got you. And when he chose you for a purpose. And that purpose is something that God reveals to you over a period of time, maybe when you got saved or maybe after a while, and you recognize that you are a tool in His toolbox, in His cabinet, for a particular reason. If I go to the toolbox and I grab a hammer or a claw hammer, I'm either going to drive a nail. If it's a claw hammer, I pull a nail. If I go and get a mop, it's a chance that I'm going to clean up. Every tool has a purpose, and every person has a purpose in God's plan, and He grabbed you for that purpose. Question: are you being used for the purpose that God apprehended you for? As a pastor, it's an ongoing frustration for me to see God's people happily sitting in their pew, and we're thrilled you're there, don't get me wrong, happily sitting in their pew, but not doing what God chose them for. So someone would say to me, well, Stan, I want to do what God wants me to do, but I'm not exactly sure what that is. Well, I'm glad you said that, because we are taught, we find out what our purpose is through a vision. So, I've never had a vision. Well, I think you have, and if you haven't, I can explain that to you. Proverbs 29:18 is a verse that you're probably familiar with. The Bible records that where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. As a young Christian, I used to think that a vision is what the Lord had spoken to me about in my service to Him, a dream, if you will. I talked to a young Pentecostal girl years ago. She said to me, oh, Stanley, have you ever had a vision? And, well, she was talking about visions and dreams that are talked about in the Old Testament. And no, I never had. Oh, Stanley, you've got to pray for a vision. I thought that was an interesting conversation. Obviously, I've never forgotten it. But that's not the vision I'm talking about. In there was a time, 1 Samuel 3:1 says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Now, for the sake of time, what I want to impress on you is you and I, as a Christian, get our vision from God's word. God's word is the vision. We're not looking for some dream in the middle of the night now. Now that we have the completed Word of God, God tells us what we need to know through His Word. I want to tell you, if God apprehended you, if God got you, if you'll study God's Word and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, I promise you, you will see your vision through God's Word and what He wants you to do. And it also comes along with talents and desires and all of those things that He built into you, He put in you, and in doing so, He's revealing to you what His desire is for your service for Him. And I have a sense that every one of us can understand that. As a very young person, I wanted to be a preacher of the gospel. Now, I didn't know how that was going to work out, and I had dreams of my own, if you will, but here I am today. And it's a long, slow process. It doesn't happen overnight. If you're looking for something to happen quickly, that's not how God operates. He's patient, and He's going to take His time. The Bible teaches, Psalm 119, 105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, a vision is basically what your eyesight is. If you went to an eye doctor, if you went to my brother-in-law and said, check my vision, he would say, well, and he'd have all these, is this good? Is this better? Is this better? And they got all those lenses they put in front of your eyes and all those things. What they're trying to do is they're trying to help you with your vision, with your eyesight. Well, God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you're in a dark room and you got a flashlight, where do you go? You don't look up here to see what's up in the sky. No, you want to light your path along. And God's word is the vision, the light, the flashlight that will guide you in your service for Him. What He apprehended you for. Number one, the first V is our vision. Are you doing what God intended to have you for as He chose you to be in His army for Him? And I hope that you are. And if you're not, then I encourage you to get into God's Word and see the vision that He has for you, the purpose. When we started the Cornerstone Baptist Church, some folks said to me, well, Stan, you know, without a vision, the people perish. What's your vision? And honestly, I didn't know much then. I don't know much now. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I don't know. What is my dream? Am I dreaming of I was lost. But all I knew is for today, I'm going to get up and serve the Lord. And the next day, I got up and served the Lord. And the next day, I got up and served the Lord. And slowly, He illuminates in front of us. Remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. We want to see everything. And God says, no, I'll give you just a little bit. And a lot of times, if you will, this is a bad analogy, but it's kind of like pin the tail on the donkey. What do? You put your blinders on, and you think you know where it is, and you take a stab at it, and you try. But the reality of it is sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes you're way off mark. Why? Because by faith, you think you know what you're doing, and you're trying, and sometimes you get it right, and sometimes there's a winner. And God's not trying to make you blind or put you in a spot that you can't succeed at, but we walk by faith and not by sight. God's there. He's faithful. He will not leave you without a comforter. You cannot be working alone. It's not possible. But the reality of it is sometimes we just don't know. We just keep moving forward in the service of the Lord, and you watch and see what God will do. 26 years later, here we are at the Cornerstone Baptist Church. We're still at it, but I have found the vision is this book right here. And when you follow it and live it and apply it over a period of time, we plant, someone waters, but God gives the increase. The vision is the Word of God. Now, everybody wants to say, boy, if I'm serving the Lord, this is going to be so great. I can't wait. I'm so excited. And it is. It's great days. But Psalm 23 is a passage that we quote, seems like, on a regular basis, and a lot of times in a cemetery. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. And of course, we're getting to the valley. But he maketh me to lie down. And the psalmist says, in green pastures. But sometimes we lay down and the pastures are not green. I used that phrase when I had the service of my brother-in-law, Randy. Randy was living a normal life, driving truck, doing the things that guys do. Not necessarily where you would hope he would be with the Lord, though he was a believer. There came a day where he was walking along, and he fell down. And he got up, and he walked along a little more, and he fell down. What's that about? Well, God was making him lie down. Come to find out, his body was right full of cancer. And over the next few weeks, as time went by, he lost his battle to cancer, but God made him lay down. And God stopped him and got his attention. And there was a time where he was able to get his heart and life right with the Lord, and now he is in the presence of God Almighty. Not every vision, every dream in service of the Lord is on top of the mountain. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Let me tell you something, Christian. In your service for the Lord, while He's using you as the tool that He chose you for, I'm telling you there's some tremendous times and there are some valleys that you will walk through. And to me personally, it seems like we've been in a valley lately. The things we want to do, we can't do. The things that seem right to do, someone seems to be holding us back. We're saying, Lord, what is going on? What's with this valley? But we're in the valley, and God is faithful. He's the God of the mountains, and He's the God in the valley. He's the God in the good times, He's the God in the bad. But He will never leave you. We get a vision, we want to serve the Lord, we think it's going to be so good. But sometimes, we walk through a valley, but He will never leave you. And obviously, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So we have the vision, we have the valley, and then sometimes, in all of these V's take place, maybe not in this particular order, sometimes life happens like it is, we plan, God laughs, But we got a dream for the Lord, and we want to serve Him. I hope that's your case. I hope there's a burning desire in your heart to follow the Lord and be used of Him. The vision. Then sometimes it seems like we're so excited for opportunities and every door seems to be being shut and it seems like we're stuck in a low point. Then other things can happen where needs need to be met. We don't exactly know what to call it, and I'm going to call that the vacuum. Ezekiel 22:30, I think, is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Say that with me. But I found none. As a man, overconfident. One of the saddest things I hear at times is when someone's in crisis. On occasion, I've not heard this recently, but on occasion you'll hear the story of someone being attacked and bystanders standing by and watching, maybe even recording, but no one jumping in to help. That breaks my heart. Who was there? Who would not want to help? And well, they were afraid of getting hurt or whatever. Can you live with yourself if you don't jump into the fray? But I found none. In Ezekiel 22, if you go on and read verse 31, the next verse, it talks about how judgment came because there was no one willing to stand in the gap. Now, what was recorded? Obviously, they talk about making up a hedge. And a hedge then, even in World War II, one of the problems they had was these really thick hedgerows that were like walls that you couldn't get through. And a hedge doesn't sound too difficult to our mechanized infantry and artillery and bulldozers that we have now. But the reality of it was, at that time, a hedge was a formidable wall that if there was a gap in the hedge, they needed someone to stand in that gap, to make up the hedge, to protect whatever was behind it, or to separate it, or whatever was necessary. And in that process, for some reason, there was a gap there that someone needed to stand in the gap. No one. And if I look at that text, all they needed was they didn't need a great singer. That's not me. They didn't need a great musician. I have zero ability to play anything. I don't even play a radio well. These new high-tech finangled radios and cars, where's the knob? Where's the button? They're gone. I can't run those. They're worthless. I digress. It is not a particular skill that was needed. They just needed someone to stand. That's it. And they found none. And Lord, I ain't much. And I don't have the skills that it seems like I used to have. But I'll tell you what, if you need Stan Griffin to stand, I promise, if I can, I will. And what churches need today is people that will step forward. I don't care what your talents are. I don't know what your skills are. But I will tell you this, dependability is the greatest ability. We're not looking for the best singers. We're not looking for the best musicians, although we'd love to have them. What we're looking for is someone that will be there and show up and stand in the gap. And our churches everywhere are crying for someone to be in a nursery or to clean on cleaning day or for some of the most basic jobs that require no skills. And those spots go undone. And we wonder why our churches struggle. God is looking for someone. He grabbed you. He apprehended you. And He pulled you into the family of God. And He says, I just need you to stand. Can you stand for me? And I just want to say, pick me, Lord, pick me, I'll stand. But it takes an army of people, volunteers, that are willing. And sometimes there's a vacuum that someone needs to step into and play their part and do their job, as the New England Patriots coach Bill Belichick is so famous for. Just do your job. It's all the Lord requires. The vision, the valley, the vacuum. And then as you do your job, sometimes there's a vortex or a battle. We're running out of time. Maybe I'll pick up the next couple of things. The vision, the valley, the vacuum is also a vortex, and we expect and we will experience a victory. I don't know about you, but my desire, Cornerstone, is to be used of God. Someone wrote to be used of God to sing, to preach, to pray, to be used of God to show someone the way. I long so much to feel the touch of His consuming fire. To be used of God is my desire. It looks like maybe our churches are going to open up some more. It looks like maybe we're going to have the permission to conduct church. But whether the church doors are open or closed, and we believe that they're open, we believe it's our constitutional right to have them open. I don't want to be political, but God told us to go out and make disciples, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full, not socially distanced. Maybe you don't want to hear that, but I encourage you to pray for our governor, our president, our vice president. Pray for the health of our nation. The struggles and the wars you see being fought right now, the riots in the streets, are not because the Republicans and Democrats can't get along. It's because there is a vacuum and a void and an absence of God's word. And God is calling His people to stand in the gap and to be used of what He's called us to do. Because I'm afraid that as we look around, there seems to be fewer and fewer people that are being used for the job that God has called them to do. As your pastor, I love you. I want you to succeed in the call that God has put on your life. And I want you to be used for the job that God has called you to do. And if you don't know Him as your personal Savior, I got good news. All you need to say is, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior and forgive my sins. And you too could be apprehended for the cause of Christ. In Jesus' name, Lord, we ask You to do the things that only You can do, that You'd speak to people in our services through this broadcast, through Your word, whatever source You want to use. God, in Jesus' name, I ask You to do the things that only You can do. Save souls, touch lives, encourage people. Help us to fight the fight that You've called us to do, regardless of the circumstances. Thank You for an Apostle Paul that encouraged people even in the very worst of circumstances. And I pray that would encourage us as well. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen.